Incredible story from John's Gospel about how Jesus completely changed someone's life. And I wonder, have you ever got more in life than you expected before? Maybe it's been a birthday, maybe it's been Christmas, maybe it's been your exam results, who knows? But for me, I was thinking back over this thing of, have you ever got more than you expected? And for me, the most recent time that this happened was just back in February. Because in February, I was going with work, with Stand By Me, to go and visit some of our boys and girls out in a country called Nepal. And to get to Nepal, you have to go down to Dublin, you fly from Dublin to Istanbul, and from Istanbul to Kathmandu. And we were late getting to the airport in Istanbul. So I had to run through the airport, and well, I had one of these in my hand. It was a ticket for a flight, and it wasn't one that they print in the airport. It was one that when you're really, really organized, you print your own one out at home. I was really impressed that I'd remembered to do it, and I ran the whole way through the airport, and I got to the gate just in time, the very, very last person, and I gave the man my ticket, and he started to scan it. Now, for this flight, I wanted to sit right beside the window, because if you're like me, you might quite like mountains. And when you fly into Kathmandu, the one thing you see for the last 30 minutes of the flight are the Himalayas, the biggest mountains in the whole wide world. And so we're flying, getting ready to go and fly, and I ran up to the gate, and I give the man my ticket, and he puts it on the little scanny thing, and it makes this noise, and the screen goes red. And I thought, uh-oh. So I said to him, well, scan it again. And so he took it again, and he scanned it, and the screen went red, and it went, and I went, uh-oh. And then he took my ticket, and he said, oh, I see what it is. We've changed your seat. I was like, don't change my seat. I don't want my seat to be changed. I want to sit beside the window. It's the only time I want to sit beside the window so I can see these mountains. And before I'd said any of that, he said, because we're upgrading you to business class. And I thought, all right, happy days. I've never been more glad to keep my mouth quiet. And he said, you're going to sit in the front of the plane. You're going to have business class service the whole way through the flight. I thought, this is incredible. I got onto the plane and I handed the girl my ticket. And I said, look, the man back there said, I get to sit in business class. And she went, uh-huh. And I went, that's amazing. I got on, I sat down in the seat, and the air steward came up to me and he said, good evening, Mr. Farrell. I was like, Mr. Farrell? I was like, when you sit back there, you don't even have a name. I was like, but I've got a name up here. This is amazing. And then they brought you a nice little drink and the newspaper and everything else before the plane had even taken off. And possibly the most incredible thing was that it had those seats where you could press the button and they went all the way down into a bed. Now, I know that I was the only person who had been upgraded, because everyone else must have been used to this in business class, because when the lights went out in the plane, everyone went and they went to sleep. Not me. I was like all night. It was absolutely incredible. It's so good when you get something that you're not expecting. And I want to show you a photograph this evening. You'll see it up on the screen here behind me. This is a painting called Salvatore Mundi. And it was sold about 60 years ago for just £45, which isn't very impressive at all. But here's the thing. Since then, they discovered that it was actually painted by Leonardo da Vinci. And so last year, it sold for $450 million, which is unbelievable. Someone got a whole lot more than what they expected. And the reason why it went from £45 to $450 million is for a long time, they thought it was fake. They thought it was one of Da Vinci's students who'd painted it. And they studied it, and they studied it, and they studied it, and they realized, no, this is the real thing. And the real thing became really, really valuable. And you know, when we think about the story of Jesus, whenever we think about what Jesus came to do, we are so, so lucky because we have people like John who wrote a whole gospel, a whole book to tell us about the real life of Jesus. And you know what he says right at the very, very start of his book in the fourth verse? So this is how we know it's important. He could have talked about lots of things straight away. He could have said the most important thing to know about Jesus is his miracles, that he turned water into wine, that he made people walk, that he made blind people see. But he doesn't say any of that. He says this. He says, in him was life. And that life was a light to all of mankind. You see, for John, who wrote the book that we've just read from, he said the most important thing is that in Jesus, there is real life. And so he wants us to find that. And in the story that was read to us, it's an incredible story about a blind man. And I don't know about you, but whenever I hear stories, I like to imagine what they must have been like at the very, very first time, when you first experienced it. And as I was reading through this story, I thought to myself, this man is blind. He has never been able to see. So everything he hears must be pretty important. So he's sitting at the side of the road where no one's really paying attention to him, and he hears this crowd of people starting to come down the road. They're getting closer and closer and closer, and in and amongst the crowd, he hears someone talking about Jesus. He hears that Jesus is in the crowd. And I'm sure that even though he's trying to figure out, just like everyone else was, who Jesus was, I'm sure he had heard some incredible things. That this is the man who can make paralyzed people walk. That this is the man who can make blind people see. And so I wonder, was he not getting really, really, really excited, hoping that maybe, just maybe, one of the disciples would spot him and go, Jesus, show us again the amazing power of God. And yet, he doesn't hear that. The first words that he hears are the disciples walking down past, and they say this, Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? You see, they thought it was about blame. They thought it was someone's fault. And yet Jesus said this. He said, no. He said, it's not his sins nor his parents' sins that he's been born blind. This has happened so that God's power can be shown in his life. And then the next thing that the man hears must have been really interesting, because he heard the sound of someone spitting. It doesn't matter where you're from or when you lived, you know that that's not a nice sound to hear. And so he hears someone spitting, but what he doesn't know, because he can't see it, is that it's Jesus. And Jesus spits on the ground, and he takes his saliva and a bit of the dirt, and he rubs it together, and he makes mud. And then he puts it onto the man's eyes. And he tells him, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. Now, he doesn't promise him anything. He doesn't say that when you get there, you'll be able to see again. He just tells him, go to the pool and wash. And so here, this man gets up to his feet, and he starts to make his way to the pool of Siloam. Now, I don't know how you get to the pool of Siloam if you're a blind man, but as he walked down the street, as his eyes were covered in mud, he must have to stop a lot of people and say, can you point me in the right direction? Can you send me on a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further until eventually his feet touched the water? He got down into the pool of Siloam, and he reached down. He must have taken big handfuls of water, and he washed, and he washed, and he washed this mud away from his eyes. And as he washed the mud away, something incredible happened, because light started to come in, and colors started to come in, and all of a sudden, he could see everything. It was this incredible, incredible miracle. And what I love is what happens next. Because the next thing that he does is he starts to run back through the town to go back, probably to try and find Jesus, to say thank you. And as he goes back, there's people that see him. And they go, hang on a minute. Aren't you that blind person? No, can't be you, because you're not blind. And he goes, no, 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 it is. It's me. And other people go, no, 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 no. He just looks like the blind person. He goes, no, no, I'm that person. And they say, well, how on earth can you see again? And I love his answer. His answer is this. He says, the man they call Jesus covered my eyes with mud. He told me to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and now I can see. It was this incredible, incredible encounter, and it completely changed his life, because we knew his life was changed because people couldn't even recognize him. And all the way through, from when Jesus walked on this earth right through to today, people have been encountering Jesus, and Jesus has been changing their lives. There's a brilliant verse in 2 Corinthians that says this. It'll be up on the screen here. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And so for us, when we encounter Jesus, he wants to give us the real thing. He wants to give us life, as Jesus described it, and life to the full. That he wants us to open up our eyes to see the life that God has for us. A life where we can know God's love and God's grace and God's forgiveness. A life completely changed. And you know what? One of the first things that Jesus said to the disciples was, follow me. He gave them that call. He said, come and follow me. And they said, yes. And for years and years and years and years, thousands and millions of people have heard that call of Jesus, come and follow me. And they've said yes. And this year at Boys Brigade, you're going to get to hear so much more about this incredible person, Jesus. And he calls each and every single one of us, from the youngest right up to the oldest, to be people who come to him and who follow him with everything that we have, as our eyes are opened to the life and the love of God. Let's pray.